In the meditation upon the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Friday is probably the most dramatic encounter with what Jesus experiences. We have the meditation on the Passion of Christ, on his mystery of his suffering and death, on Palm Sunday with that dramatic reading of the Gospel. We have it again on Good Friday. In the extraordinary form of the Mass, they do the Passion narrative all throughout the week, so you end up going to all four Gospels of the suffering of Jesus. There's so much stuff that's going on when you think about the suffering and death of Jesus. A number of years ago, some of my priest friends joined together to make a series of meditations on the Stations of the Cross. And as you go through each Station of the Cross, you realize that every step of the way, there's some really deep things going on. If you remember that excellent movie called The Passion of the Christ, you see that also. It's not just a simple event where Jesus is crucified and that's it, but there are so many different things moving all at the same time. And we have different people involved in it. We have people involved in the suffering and death of Jesus who didn't like each other at all. You have the Pharisees and scribes, you have the Romans, you have Judas, and none of them really got along, and yet somehow they managed to be united in their hatred for the Lord Jesus. Judas, we see the work of his betrayal. And then in the phony religious leaders from the Pharisees and scribes, you have them conspiring against the Lord Jesus since day one. The first time they heard about him, they wanted him out of the picture. And then you got these Romans, they don't really care. They just want to get rid of problems, and they try to do so in such a cruel way. All of these people are in some way conflicted with each other. You can imagine the Pharisees did not like Judas because he had associated very closely with Jesus. So they probably hated him, just like they rejected the rest of the apostles also. And then the Pharisees, they hated the Romans. They wanted nothing to do with them. And then the Romans hated everybody. They wanted nothing to do with anybody who couldn't build up the Roman Empire. All these people are filled with hatred, and yet something unites them. Something, for a brief moment, unites the power of their hatred, and it's all focused against Jesus. How is this possible? How is it possible that all these conflicted individuals unite together against the one who is the way, the truth, and the life? How is it possible? Well, in one of the Gospels, there's a line in the midst of all of the turmoils being visited against Jesus. There's a line in the Gospel, it almost seems like it was put there by mistake, but no line is put there by mistake when the Holy Spirit is in charge of that. It doesn't seem to fit in, but it really does. It says something about Pontius Pilate. It says he knew it was out of envy that they had delivered Jesus up to be crucified. He knew it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. And that line is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So what unites all of these conflicted people is envy. That envy which is when you are upset at someone else's goodness, something they have, whether it's a material thing, or maybe their moral or spiritual goodness, or the goodness of their own humanity. And envy is the thing, according to this line in the scriptures, that brings about the suffering and death of Jesus. It really brings about so much hatred on the part of Judas, the Pharisees, and the Romans. Envy is referred to by one great saint named Saint Augustine as the diabolical sin. It's like the worst sin ever because it originates from the evil spirit. In fact, there's a line in the Old Testament that it was through the devil's envy that death entered the world. And what is this death? Ultimately, it's the spiritual death where your relationship to God is destroyed. And it's destroyed by the spirit of evil's envy. Saint Gregory, another great saint from hundreds of years ago, said that envy leads to really bad things. He says it leads to hatred and to calumny of detraction, when you're saying false things about people, and it causes so many problems. It really does. So if we look at some of the characters in the Passion of Christ, we see how envy invades their hearts and ruins them and puts them against Christ. First, we look at the person of Judas Iscariot. Judas is an official in this new covenant community, the church that Christ has established. He's one of the apostles, and he has received so many graces and gifts and blessings from the Lord Jesus. I mean, he saw Jesus face to face. For most of us, we would say if we could see Jesus face to face, that would be enough for us. He's heard the teaching of the gospel directly from Jesus himself. He didn't have to listen to a preacher. He didn't have to listen to a scripture interpretation or exegesis or Bible study. He heard it all from Jesus himself. He sees his miracles. He's so close to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He's got so much. But he loses all of these gifts and graces and blessings through envy. He sees the grace and truth in Jesus, and he's upset at it. Judas is upset. He's saddened by the presence of Emmanuel, God with us, in the person of Jesus. And this envy leads him to reject Christ. What Judas should have done is he should have simply, in his heart, accepted Jesus. He should have said, I've got to acknowledge my sins and turn away from them and allow Jesus to heal me again and again and to make me new. He should have lived as a friend to Jesus. But his envy got the better of him. And this envy leads him to reject Christ, and it destroys Judas from the inside out. From the inside, remember that Judas is always looking for some way to trip up Jesus. His betrayal actually is a long-running thing in his life against Jesus. So in his heart, he's already against the life of the Spirit. He's against it. The life of the Holy Spirit is something that he don't care about one bit. His envy is working in his heart day after day after day, and he probably doesn't even know it. And others probably don't even know it either, because they would see Judas in the company of the Lord Jesus and think, oh, he's right there with Jesus. He's really with him. But in his heart, he's not. His envy has moved him so far from Jesus, it's unbelievable. This envy worked in the heart of Judas every single day, and he tries to find some way to betray Jesus. And then eventually this envy destroys his position in the church. Even though on the outside he's got his position, on the inside he doesn't. And he's going to fall flat on his face. And you know, Judas as an apostle was someone who was supposed to attract people to Christ. He was supposed to some way draw people away from the darkness of sin and error and lead them to the splendor of truth in Jesus. He couldn't do that. He couldn't do that. He couldn't fulfill his vocation because of envy. And so his position in the church is ruined, even if it doesn't look ruined for a time. It's ruined. And then ultimately, his envy destroys his own life when it leads him to hate himself. None of this was necessary. He could have turned to Jesus and have been healed, but he didn't. He would not turn to Jesus interiorly in his heart. And it was because of envy. Then we see envy at work in the phony religious leaders. Now, not all of these religious leaders, the Pharisees and scribes, were phony. Some of them were very genuine. Think of someone like Nicodemus and probably many others. But it seems that those who got the power, they're the ones that are phony. Now, these guys should be experts in the life of grace and truth. When they saw Jesus, right away, they should have been like John the Baptist. And they should have been like, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. They should have been. Because these guys were experts in the prophecies. They were experts in the sacred scriptures. But their envy makes them the complete opposite. They have no clue about the life of grace and truth, even though they should. They should be the experts. On the outside, they look like they are. On the inside, they're not. Their envy leads them to do some terrible, terrible things. First, they condemn an innocent man, and that's evil. They condemn an innocent man, and they don't even care about that. They will lie, lie, and lie all the time, which is another of the works of the spirit of evil. They'll look at Jesus' teaching, and they'll take his words out of context, and they'll try to accuse him of blasphemy or trying to violently destroy the temple. They'll try to say that he's a really bad person. Now, these poor Pharisees and scribes and others, if their version of justice was turned against themselves, they'd have to crucify themselves, all of them. But they don't think about that. They just visit their injustice against Jesus, all born of their envy. And their envy goes even further to destroy them. They reject their own relationship to God. Now think about that. These are people who have religious vocations. Publicly, they are the servants of God, but they reject God altogether. Remember when they said, "We have no king but Caesar." They said that, and those words manifested their rejection of God. And all this envy against Jesus is what's ruining them on the inside and the outside. It ruins their souls. It takes their religious devotion totally out of their hearts. And I guarantee you that most of these religious leaders, when they were children, they didn't want to go down this path. They probably wanted to be very devoted to the mystery of God, but their envy slowly crept into their hearts and ruined them. Then you look at the Romans, and we could actually say that they too were envious of Jesus because of their arrogance. Remember, the Roman Empire was considered by the Roman Empire to be the greatest thing in the whole world, the most powerful force in the world. They, in a way, worshipped their own authority over others, and they probably felt very bad or threatened by the success of any other group on this earth. And so they just want to violently do away with anything in this world that doesn't build up their empire. They're against the Jewish community very badly, and ultimately they're against Christ, who is referred to as the newborn king. Which is nothing new, because many of the people when Jesus was born were also against this newborn king of the Jews. Think of King Herod. So their envy, their being upset at the goodness found in Christ, leads them to violence, leads them to mock the great King Jesus, and it leads them to kill him in such a terrible, terrible way. Envy, we see now in the suffering of Jesus and his death, is extremely dangerous. It's probably the worst spiritual evil that can afflict anyone's heart, because it ultimately puts people against God. You know, when you're envious of someone, ultimately you're telling God that he did not distribute his gifts and blessings correctly. You're putting yourself above God, and you're doing it a little at a time. You probably don't even know it. Envy can break relationships by ushering in secret hatreds within people's hearts. It can lead people to lie about others, to treat people terribly unjustly. When I do work with young couples preparing for marriage, I give them a strong teaching about the goodness of their married love and how it's such a wonderful gift they're moving into in their married life. But then I talk about some things that can threaten their married love. And I say one of them is envy. It's when one or both of you start to become saddened or upset that the other is successful or even more successful. And I tell them, you have to watch out for this envy. Envy can ruin a good marriage. Envy can tear apart communities. I remember a story of a priest back in the 1950s. His preaching was so powerful that people were coming from other churches to hear him preach, and it was like his preaching was a living word from God, and it inspired the people so deeply in their relationship to Christ. And what happened is other priests got very angry with him. They were envious that his preaching was so successful, and they gave him all kinds of trouble for decades. You can look in the history of of the church and pretty much all of the saints were victims of envy because of their devotion to Christ and their friendship with the life of grace and truth. Envy is something that can take something really good, a relationship, a team, a family, a community, and tear it to pieces on the inside. We see that at work even in the Passion of Christ. Now, all this talk about envy should kind of warn us that we have to be on guard against envy in two ways. First, when we are victims of someone else's envy, what do? Well, we have to enter into Christ. We got to pray more. We have to go into ourselves and acknowledge our own sinfulness and turn away from our sins more and more and more and more. We have to really enter into Jesus. And when you're the victim of someone else's envy, you're going to experience the cross. Because if they are allowing their envy to govern themselves, there's not a whole lot of limit that can be put on the bad things they could do to you. Really, only God will put that limit upon them. But you also have to stay the course. You have to ignore the envy of others. And envious people, ultimately, if they continue on their path of envy, will lose. They'll fall flat on their faces. You look at all of the people whose envy turned them against Jesus. They either totally lost everything, or they repented of their sins and became Christians. So if you're a victim of envy, you have to enter into Christ more. And then, what if you have envy in your own heart? That's the kind of thing that can affect any of us at any time, in any degree. And what we have to do to overcome that envy is we have to resort to humility. You know, there's so many things that we can be envious of in other people's lives. But often our envy is not based on the fullness of truth. If we knew the fullness of truth, we'd be very happy with the blessings that God gives to us and to everybody. How to combat envy in your heart? Humility. You have to rejoice in another's good qualities, their successes, their possessions, anything good they have. You have to rejoice in that because ultimately, that's the way God has arranged the world. And we have to continue to work for their highest good. If envy is at the heart of the crucifixion and death of Jesus, it means that Christ came to destroy envy. Remember, it says in the gospel that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He truly has. Even the evil spirit knows that. He's come to destroy the power of envy. So, brothers and sisters, we have to look to Jesus. It seems that he is a complete powerless victim of the envy of so many other people. But he is victorious over envy in his resurrection. And Jesus shows us the way. The way is humility. Humility before God and before others. We need to work on this humility to the very end of our lives. Dear brothers and sisters, may we imitate Christ in his humility. In this way, envy will be defeated from within our hearts or from without. Christ will raise us up to a deeper experience of his grace and his truth. God bless you.